Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock, and welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, July 25th. I'm Ray Graff. Best-selling cookbook authors Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are back. They have written over 36 cookbooks, sold over 1 million of them. Their new one is all about cold canning. It's the easy way to preserve the seasons without hot water processing. You ever do any canning? I haven't, but I've learned a lot already. They'll give us the lowdown on cold canning, and of course, if you have any food questions, they'll answer that as well. 800-348-2551 is our number. 1-800-348-2551. I'll tell you, this book is heavy. I had to ask two interns to help me bring it in the studio. It is one big book. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org, and it's Bruce Weinstein, Mark Scarborough time on the show right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back our friends Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough. They produce a popular podcast, Cooking with Bruce and Mark. They write a ton of cookbooks, and the new one is Cold Canning, the easy way to preserve the seasons without hot water processing. It features over 425 small batch jams, chutneys, pickles, and the like. If you have a cooking or recipe question, it's also a fair bet they can answer that. But we'll talk a lot about cold canning today. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number as we roll along here, 800-348-2551. Bruce and Mark, welcome back, fellas. How's the summer going?
Hey, Ray, our summer's going great. How's yours?
It is. The weather's kind of funky, but the weather, otherwise the summer's good.
So it's pretty hot out right now?
Today's disgusting. I believe that's the technical word.
How's the temperature in the studio?
Comfortable. You've got air conditioning.
So it's a working?
Yeah, it's like a refrigerator.
All right, because the show has begun, and now the flop sweat is starting, so I'm not sure if it's cool or what. So the new book is pretty dang cool.
Now, thank you.
You know this already because you've been on the show enough. I don't know anything about anything at all, and that's what our listeners really despise. But I really don't know anything about canning. Uh-huh. So before we talk about the new book, and I read the whole introduction, but it was an hour ago. In fairness, and I forgot most of it. Tell us about the old school hot canning. Tell us how that worked.
Well, the old school canning, there's several different ways to do it. You can do it in steam canning or pressure canning or hot water canning. These are ways in which you're trying to bring up the pressure inside a jar in order to vacuum seal it to get the oxygen out of the jar. It vacuum seals, the lid goes.
It sterilizes it.
Something like that. It sucks on there. You can hear it pop on. I can remember my grandmother with all the cans on the counter. And as I was saying to you right before we started the show, my grandmother was an inveterate canner, and she even canned ground beef. Now, there is a farm life for you.
That is disgusting. I'm going to be honest. That is just let's move on from that.
So she canned a lot of things, and it has a certain pinging sound as the lids go down, as the vacuum seals into it. And it's a way to preserve the seasons into the winter.
You're making the jars shelf stable so you can keep them in your pantry.
And how long does that process take?
Oh, well, first of all, you have to cook the things you're putting in the jars longer. You have to boil the jars before you fill them, and then it's a 10 to 20 minute process to actually process them.
So you boil the jars to sterilize them.
Then you fill them. Then you put the lid on them and put them in the boiling water or the steam canner.
Right.
And then it's 10 to 20 minutes for them to process.
And before that, you have to have also perhaps cook the jam, cook the preserve before you even boil your jars. So you have to get it to a certain state.
So this is hours and hours at a minimum.
If you're my grandmother, when you're living in an Oklahoma farmhouse and it's 150,000 degrees outside and it's July and you're standing at a stove canning.
It's a
hairnet procedure.
And so what we decided is you don't need to do all that. If you just make your jam, your chutney, or your pickles, or your kimchi, or your sauerkraut, or your hot fudge sauce, you put it into clean, well-washed jars, you could put it in the refrigerator or the freezer and preserve it that way without having to boil it. Now, the nice thing is you're only making two or three jars of anything at any given time. every recipe a small batch.
Okay, and in the introduction, which is really, really a great read in itself, you mentioned that to do the old school canning, you need to do volume.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there's no point in doing all that work to make two jars of jam, right? You're making 30 jars. You're making a crate of jam. As we always say, you're making enough to survive the apocalypse. But when you're cold canning, every recipe in this book just makes two or three jars.
If we were writing a traditional canning book, let's say, you know, some jar company had hired us to write their canning book, you might not do this at home, but in order to make sure the recipes work inside the book, we would be using pH strips. We'd be taking the pH of everything to make sure we get it at the right level.
But your grandmother didn't do that, right?
No, she didn't. But in order to write a recipe for liability reasons, we would. And I can tell you that in writing 425 cold canning recipes, we never touched a pH strip because we don't have to worry about it. Because it's going in a fridge or it's going in the freezer and it's going to stay there 6 weeks, a month, a year in the freezer.
So you guys came up with this?
We came up with calling this cold canning. People have been doing what they call refrigerator jam or freezer jam or refrigerator pickles for years. But no one has thought, why limit it to just freezer jam and pickles? We can make anything you could put in a jar, from chutney to chili crisps to salsa matchas to hot fudge sauce to infused oils and vinegars to homemade liqueurs, you could put it in a jar. You don't have to process it. You could put it in the fridge or the freezer and keep it
that way. And that includes kimchi and sauerkraut. And I love kimchi and sauerkraut. I love fermented things. And I love kimchi and I love sauerkraut. But I'm always slightly skeeved out. I know there's a million Korean grandmothers who do this right out in the open. But I'm skeeved out at the room temperature fermenting. And we discovered through long process and working that, in fact, you can get fermentation to happen in the fridge in a 1-quart jar for kimchi or sauerkraut. It just takes a little longer. Yep. It takes about 6 days for it to start to bubble and get fermented and get that good funky taste.
We're joined today by Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough. The new book, which comes out on Tuesday, is Cold Canning, The Easy Way to Preserve the Seasons Without Hot Water Processing. I guess the advantage of canning is that you can keep stuff on the shelf. You don't have to put it in the fridge. Yep. This stuff is not shelf stable,
right? No, this is made for the fridge or for the freezer. So you just need a little bit of room in your fridge. Now, when you're making it for the shelf, if you're processing it, as you said earlier, Ray, you're going to make 12 jars, 15 jars, so it lasts you all winter.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to last you all winter, too, but you're only going to have 2 jars or 3 jars, and you keep it in your freezer, pull it out the night before.
Yeah, I think the nice thing about that is that you can find, I don't know, what's in right now, blueberries, strawberries.
Yeah.
You can find blueberries on sale at the supermarket. You can buy a couple pints of it and make a couple jars of blueberry jam. Mm-hmm. Instead of, as Bruce says, instead of trying to survive the apocalypse or, you know, can until time has no more meaning.
I mean, it used to
be. That was the line in the introduction that got me. Yeah.
Until time has no meaning.
If I wanted to make strawberry jam, I would go to the farmer's market and I would buy a whole flat of strawberries because if I'm going to do all this work, I'm going to do all this work.
Yeah.
And I would make, 16, 18 jars. Well, I brought you some strawberry jam that I made 2 jars of this out of 1.5 quarts of strawberries. And that it's fresh. It is the taste of it because it doesn't double cook, right? When you make strawberry jam, you cook it in a pan, then it cooks again in the jar in the processor. This isn't double cooked, so it has a fresher, brighter strawberry
great
taste.
Consistency, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's thick and it looks like jam.
Yeah,
so.
when you see that apricot jam
and
that we brought you, it's full of pieces of fruit because, as Bruce says, we can avoid the double cook. We can avoid the cook on, which my grandmother did, right? She took the apricots, she cooked them on the stove, then she put them in the jars, and then she put them in the steam canner for 15
again.
Minutes.
I tell you what, let's take a quick break, and then I want to go through this process. I want you to walk me through this process, the pectin, the whole 9 yards. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's all about. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Cold Canning is the new book from Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough. It is out on Tuesday, and we'll talk more about it. Take your calls coming up. The late, great Pat Martino there doing the West Montgomery West Coast Blues here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our number. VoxPop@WAMC.org is the email address. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here. They are the award-winning authors of the Instant Pot Bible. They have been on this show many times before. The new book, out Tuesday, is called Cold Canning, The Easy Way to Preserve the Seasons Without Hot Water Processing. It's a beautiful book. I mean, you guys always make good books, but this one is really the picture.
I am proud of the pictures. Photos. We have a photographer we use who lives in Brooklyn, and he comes up to our home.
But they're shot.
We shoot in our home. I do all the food styling. Mark produces the shoots. So it's all done in our kitchen.
This is you can't see it, but if you look at the picture, there's a couple of pictures that they're sitting on blue shelves. There's jars sitting on bluish shelves. That's actually the shoe rack from our hallway.
Really?
That's the shoe rack turned upside down from
when
our hallway.
When you're shooting at home, you grab whatever and you make it work.
You guys have a shoe rack? My hallway is my shoe rack. That's all right, so let's talk about this process. I had a chance to try the strawberry jelly. And it is really, it's perfection. It's not too sweet, which always drives me nuts about jelly.
Yep.
It's right on the money, and it's jam, really, right?
This is jam. So the thing is, in this book, every recipe that calls for pectin, and not every recipe does, only in the first chapter where there's preserves and jellies is a lot of pectin used, we called for low sugar pectin in everything, which allowed us to use less sugar. And we could do that because we're not making it shelf stable. So we're not worried about the acid level, the pH level, the sugar level in terms of it becoming shelf stable because it's going in the fridge. So every recipe uses a little less sugar, a little more fruit flavor, a little brighter and fresher tasting.
What's pectin?
Pectin is a naturally occurring dissolvable polysaccharide found in the skins and seeds of many fruits.
You looked that up.
No, I did not. It's found in a ton in blueberry skins, in raspberry skins and seeds. It's produced. Apples have tons of pectin in them. And it's produced from a process that derives it from these fruits and vegetables.
And this is what makes it congeal?
Yes.
It's what makes it set. So the process of creating a jam or a preserve the old-fashioned way with pectin, the way we did here, is you mix the sugar and a little bit of pectin and set it aside. Then you cook the fruit until it's boiling with a little juice, a little lemon juice. You smash it down. Then you stir in the sugar, and you let it go 1 minute. You boil it 1 minute, and it's done.
And you use lemon juice because you activate pectin by raising the pH.
It's all about acid.
Make it
but
more
you don't
acidic.
Use pH strips. You just
no. Again, we don't have to be this careful. But if we were making this shelf stable, I would be panicking about what is the pH of this strawberry jam.
You want to make sure bacteria is not growing because if it's sitting on a shelf unrefrigerated, the last thing you want to do is kill yourself when you open it.
That's
and eat
a really good point. Now,
thing you want to do at dinner?
You still have to seal these things, right?
Yes, you
and
do.
So but how do you go about doing that and making sure everything, bad stuff gets in?
Well, because you're going to make sure your jars and your lids are meticulously clean. The jam goes in hot. And then as soon as it's cooled down about an hour, you put it in the refrigerator. And that keeps anything bad from growing.
How long will it keep?
A couple of months.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. It depends on the product. But the USDA will say anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks in the fridge, indefinitely in the freezer, but 3 to 6 weeks in the fridge. We have kept these things 2 months, 3 months in the fridge. I know that's not USDA recommendations, but we have done that.
But a jar of jam isn't going to last more than 3 days in our house.
Yeah,
because
well, that's
to
a good
me,
point.
I mean, first of all, we are not ones to smear a thin little layer of jam on our toast.
No.
In fact, if you go to our TikTok channel, there is a video on how to make toast and the proper amount of jam to put on said
and
toast.
That's basically a quarter of a jar.
Yeah,
a quarter of a jar.
Toast.
Good thing you make your own.
Exactly.
It's amazing. So you guys are on TikTok, too?
Of course. Yeah, of Cooking course. With Bruce and Mark.
Okay. So everything that you are doing on social media is Cooking with Bruce and Mark.
Aren't we clever?
On Instagram,
yes, Mark,
on TikTok.
Branding.
Yeah.
Aren't we clever? We did that all by ourselves.
All right. Now, if we did this strawberry jam, which is tremendous, I couldn't tell the difference if you said hot canning, cold canning, medium canning, whatever.
Right.
It's great. How long would it take to do the hot method?
Well, I would have to boil the bottles first, right? What I did with these is just washed it meticulously clean, but I would have had to boil them for 10 minutes. So now I got to bring a big pot of water with jars to a boil. Then I have to deal with these flaming hot jars while I'm trying to put hot jelly in, which is going to burn my hands.
Yeah.
Then I have to put them back in the hot water, bring it back to a boil, let it boil 10 minutes.
Having already cooked the strawberry jam.
So now it's going to cook a little longer, so it's going to get a more cooked taste, which is why store-bought jam tastes different than this. That tastes more cooked. This isn't as cooked because it was only cooked once.
The apricot that we brought you can see it's just orange.
Yep.
It's this orange color, and it doesn't have any brown.
Beautiful.
It's on a muddy color.
Yeah.
Right, because again, we're letting the apricots just cook once, and so it preserves its freshness, it preserves taste.
And how long did the strawberry jam take to make in the cold method?
Oh, it takes about 15 minutes total to get this going.
And you're putting it in hot, right?
Yeah. I'm putting the hot jam into the clean jar.
If you put it in the fridge too warm, the glass will crack, right?
Eh, no, the jars are made to handle that, but you don't want to put... In general, you don't want to put hot things in a fridge because it makes your fridge work harder to chill it down.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's always good to let hot food cool down for about an hour or so before you put it in the fridge. And if it's something big that's going to take longer than an hour, like say you had a pot of soup and you want to store it in that pot, set that pot in your sink, fill the sink with cold water, and it'll cool down a little faster, and then put it in your fridge.
I think one of the things I loved about the book Cold Canning and getting to write it is that we originally went into this thinking this was all about jams and jellies and that kind of thing, right? But then we kind of got this idea, wait a minute, can't this be anything that goes in a canning jar? Mm-hmm. And so the book comes out at the end with homemade triple sec, homemade raspberry liqueur. It comes out with all these homemade liqueurs at the end because, after all, you can make those in a canning jar too.
And you have to put them in the fridge?
Yeah. Of course, yep, in the fridge.
Are there any things that can be done with the cold canning method that don't have to go in the fridge or freezer?
No. The sauerkrauts that Bruce developed for the book start out at room temperature, and then they do migrate to the fridge. Some of the pickling that he does in the book, it's called a shortcut pickling method, where you leave it on the counter for about an hour at room temperature, and then you move it to the fridge. There's kind of a jump start on the pickling process.
You would think infused vinegars, like our tarragon vinegar and our raspberry vinegar and our fig vinegar, well, vinegar could just sit in your pantry. Can't it? But once you infuse the fresh fruit, the raspberries, the figs, you're putting organic matter into that vinegar. It's not pasteurized. So it's always best to keep that in the fridge so it lasts longer without turning, without going bad, because you are adding fresh fruit to that.
Do you want to know something really esoteric? This is a really esoteric food.
Of course. Arcane canning knowledge. Yes.
Totally arcane.
All right, fine.
So until about 3 years ago, all distilled white vinegar sold in the United States was 5% acidity. And that's what every canner back to my grandmother and your great-grandmother used, is 5% acidity vinegar. The manufacturers decided they were going to save money a couple years ago and dropped it to 4% acidity. Now, white vinegar sold in the United States is 4%, which is not safe for canning.
Interesting.
So you have to, this is the one caveat, you have to search out the manufacturers who still make 5% acidity vinegar.
You know, you guys, Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough, you know a lot, but how did you know that?
Just being ever the one lying in bed at 6 in the morning thinking, oh my God, am I sure of the acidity of the vinegar?
So amazing.
Jumping out of bed and thinking about it.
The new book is Cold Canning, The Easy Way to Preserve the Season Without Hot Water Processing. If you have a question for Bruce and Mark, the number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org.
Ray, you like ketchup, right?
Well, at times.
Yeah.
Not usually by itself, but...
We have 7 ketchup recipes in this book. You can make your own tomato ketchup. There's a curried ketchup recipe, an Asian 5-spice ketchup, a plum ketchup, a blueberry jalapeno ketchup, and get this, a banana ketchup. And if you've never tried banana ketchup, which is a version of a Filipino specialty.
Right.
It is so amazing. It is made from bananas and hot chilies and onions and vinegar and honey, and there's rum in it and soy sauce and a little tomato paste. It is an amazing condiment.
You guys, as always, and you've been on for many books, and you've tried, you've developed all these recipes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every single
How long did this book take?
Took us over a year to write this
book. A year!
Yeah, this is a big tome. This is, as we call it, I believe the technical term in the industry is a doorstop. This is the doorstop book. So it took us a while to come out with this.
Well, the introduction itself is very extensive, and it's the title is "Don't Skip This." And this was for legal reasons, I assume.
Yes,
but you know, it talks a lot about the equipment, and it talks a lot about the process, and even. Measuring the volumes in metric equivalents.
Right.
Why is that important?
Well, it's real. We would prefer to write every book with metric equivalents, but we know that most U.S. readers don't want such things. They want to work in tablespoons and cups. So in this book, we did both. We have the cup amounts and or the market amounts, three tomatoes. But then I always give a gram after it because I think that some of these recipes, listen, if you fudge the amount of sugar in that strawberry jam by a little bit, it's not going to change it. But some of these recipes, when you get up to the chili sauces, when you get up to the chili crisps, the Chinese chili crisps, the little tiny bits of difference will make a huge difference between a hot chili crisp and one that takes the top of your head off.
Ah, so, and which some people like.
Yeah, you know? I like really hot food, but you don't want to kill yourself with
right.
it, right? So,
really, this is not about safety so much as flavor.
It's not about safety so much as flavor.
So
that's
about
right.
Flavor. Mark and I are all about the flavor, and the flavor in the chili crisps, in the salsa matchas, in the chili pastes, in the sweet chili paste, in the vinegary and chili paste are outrageous.
And I want to say that your summer cocktails won't know what hit them until you try pickled grapes.
Oh, come on.
Pickled grapes in rum or in vodka, it's fabulous. Get them really chilled down. They have a nice bite to them, but they're sweet.
Also, pickled cherries, pickled plums, and pickled cherry tomatoes. Yum.
Well, I don't know about
you guys. Have gone off the deep end. I'm not sure I'll have a
You've
cocktail
never
with
had
that.
Pickled peaches.
Oh, pickled peaches.
Peaches.
So there's a recipe in here for pickled peaches.
Oh my God! I grew up with such things in the South.
You know, I'm kind of a snob about pickles. Can the cold canning method do it justice?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. The recipe for the good old-fashioned half-sour and garlic-sour pickles, they taste just like they came out of the best Jewish deli
you've
ever been to. Crispy
Berry.
And crunchy.
And better, because
fabulous.
You don't double-cook it, the bread and butter pickles, right?
Look at that.
The sweet bread and butter pickles
Beautiful.
Stay crunchy because you don't double-cook it. Mm-hmm. So we have a big vat of bread and butter pickles in the refrigerator at home right now.
And pickled jalapenos.
And how long will they keep?
Again, that one's higher vinegar, so that one you can push to 6 weeks to 2 months. Mm-hmm. Legitimately, we'd probably push it through the summer.
Now, you guys,
legitimately.
You know, you wrote the book. You're not going to sue yourselves.
No.
Right? But how can you tell if it's too long?
When you, first of all, any food, not just this, when you smell it and it smells off, don't eat it. That's the first rule of thumb.
Yeah.
When it starts to change the way it looks in a jar, if you made pickles and it was nice and clear brine and you could see the pickles, and all of a sudden after 6 weeks it's not clear anymore, don't eat it.
Just
use common sense. Yeah, if it smells off, don't eat it. If it looks off, don't eat it.
The sniff test is for everything. It's for dating. It's for eating. It's for everything.
All right, fine. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here. The new book is Cold Canning, The Easy Way to Preserve the Seasons Without Hot Water Processing. It's out on Tuesday. 800-348-2551 is the number, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Getting back to pectin.
Okay.
When my grandmother, I don't think she canned stuff, but I remember seeing pectin. It wasn't, you guys use granulated pectin?
Yeah, it's powder.
I think she had liquid or something.
She probably did use liquid.
There is something called liquid pectin. I don't like it.
I mean, what's the difference?
It's first of all, in the process, you add it at the end of the cooking, not at the beginning of the cooking. It also changes the proportions of sugar and liquid. Because you're adding more liquid, that is going to dilute your flavor a bit. So you have to accommodate for how much flavoring you're adding and how much fruit you've got. And I've just never had the same results and the same luck with liquid pectin that I've had with powdered pectin.
This is easier to work with as well?
I find that powdered pectin is much
easier. It's much more forgivable.
You know, in the book, in what I read of the book, you do mention the low-sugar pectin. Nina writes in, where can I get it? Online only?
I actually found it at Walmart, believe it or not.
Really?
Yep, there's a Walmart not far from us, and that's where I tend to get it on a regular
basis.
But you
can look for low-sugar pectin online, right? Mm-hmm.
And some supermarkets have it. I can tell you my hardware store has it.
Your hardware
my
store.
True Value hardware store has it.
If you go to the hardware store, to the canning, right now the canning jars are all out right now for the summer. If you go there, you'll often find it at the hardware store. And at like at Ames, those kind of places.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, and the pectin doesn't have to come in the box. Sometimes it comes in a plastic container or a jar that you unscrew the top and you measure it out. All of our pectin is by the tablespoon or by the gram, so it's not like a box of this or a box of that.
Is the pickling? It's not a craze. It's been around for hundreds of
people
years.
People have been pickling forever.
Is it waning?
I hope not, because there's nothing like homemade pickles.
Well, I mean, gosh, even before we wrote this book, as long as we've been together, 30 years, we have always pickled jalapenos every summer.
Yeah.
It's just a thing. And it's always been this method. It's always been make, in this case, we make what, in where I'm from, Texas, you call cowboy candy, which is the sweet and sour jalapeno rings.
Yeah.
And so we always have a big jug of cowboy candy
going
in the
refrigerator. And it can't be easier. You just take a syrup of vinegar and sugar and some cumin seeds and salt, and you boil that. You add the sliced jalapenos. 5 minutes, they change color. You're done. You put that in a jar. You put it in the fridge. Months. And you could put that on burgers.
You could
put that on anything. Smoked salmon, those pickled jalapeno rings.
Oh, my gosh. We get the whitefish salad from the delicatessen, and we put those pickled jalapeno rings on whitefish salad on crackers. That is delicious.
Mm-hmm. And if you've never made your own sauerkraut.
I've never made my own sauerkraut.
There's no comparison to your homemade sauerkraut. And if you never, now, have you ever tried kimchi?
I'm not a fan.
The Korean pickle.
My children like it.
Well, there's many different kimchis in the book, and you can go from the very traditional with the fish sauce and very funky and pungent and spicy to a little less spicy, a little sweeter, and it's so much easier to make than you would ever think. You could make your homemade barbecue sauce.
Preserve. In this winter, you can peel those, you know, those clementines, the little oranges.
Yeah,
that come
I
in.
Love them. Yeah,
yeah. There's a recipe in the book to peel them and then preserve them in a brandy syrup, and it's so fine to pull one of those clementines out of brandy syrup, eat it with ice cream, eat it with creme fraiche, with a little whipped cream.
And speaking of ice cream,
yum.
Any ice cream topping you can imagine, we have the recipe in the book: salted caramel,
I'm
peanut
looking at
butter
that
sauce,
right now.
Marshmallow sauce,
strawberry sauce,
strawberry
coffee
sauce, blackberry sauce, lemon sauce.
What are wet walnuts, by the way?
When I was a kid, wet nuts were the thing you put on Sundays at Carvel, the soft serve ice cream with the warm, syrupy walnuts. It was just soft serve with wet nuts.
I remember Carvel now. Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh my! It's actually been a week for me.
They still have Carvels.
Yeah, my mom was visiting from California last week, and one day, she's getting ready for lunch. I said, "What do you want for lunch?" She said, "Let's go to Carvel." So she and Mark had Carvel for lunch.
Right.
Where? I mean, we used to have them up here.
Yeah,
but it's been 20, 30 years at least.
Yeah, one in Avon, Connecticut.
Yeah,
I'll be darned.
Mm. Yep.
The number here is 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here. The book, which is out Tuesday, is Cold Canning, the easy way to preserve the seasons without hot water processing. You got a question? Call 800-348-2551 right now for your listening pleasure and a little bit of Dixie Dregs. Steve Moore said that Dixie Dregs here on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. It's Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough. They have a Well, they're all over the social media at Bruce Cooking with Bruce and Mark, and you can find him on the TikTok. You on the Instagram too?
Of course.
What else are you on?
Facebook.
Really?
There's even a Facebook group called Cooking with Bruce and Mark.
Really?
Yes, yep. It is.
Interesting. Well, the new book is Cold Canning. It is out on Tuesday. You know, I'm just opened randomly to barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Devil's advocate here, and we'll get to the phones in just a second. Why do you need to can it? You just make it and you put it on the steak.
Well, but this way you make, you know, two jars of it. You're not going to use two jars with one steak, right?
Yeah.
So this way you have it for next week and the week after.
Or a house gift.
Or a house gift, absolutely.
You bring it to somebody, you got a second char of barbecue sauce, or you throw it in the freezer for later in the winter. When you're just craving barbecue.
You need a lot of fridges, though, to do all these things, yeah?
Well, if you make every recipe in the book, yes, then you're going to have 800 jars.
You guys know I'm the ugly American, but what is pineapple, pine nut, salsa matcha?
Okay.
What is that?
Salsa matcha, let's start with, it is sort of a Mexican version of chili crisp. So what's chili crisp? Chili crisp is this Chinese spicy condiment where it's a chili oil, and then settled on the bottom are crunchy bits of chili and garlic and spices.
That sounds good.
It's really, really good, and it's become very, very popular. So salsa matcha is a Mexican version of that, where you take...
A Mexican version? I think you started a global war right
there. Maybe.
Go ahead.
And basically, the ingredients of a salsa matcha are always going to be some kind of chilies, some kind of nut, some kind of dried fruit, some spices, and oil.
Sweeter.
It's a little sweeter. And each one of those components, the nuts, the chilies, the dried fruit, gets fried in oil. Then you put the whole thing in a food processor and pulse it until it's sort of, you know, semi-pureed. And it is an amazing
tacos
condiment.
Tacos will not know what hit them.
No, you know, the best thing on a burger, on a taco.
I keep coming back to this show after show, but I'm floored that you even have enough time to test all these recipes.
Well, it's our full-time job. When we're writing a book, that's all we're doing, right?
That's
all we do for that year is write this book and test the recipes.
Oh, listen, let's go to the phones here. We have a couple of emails, but we'll do some calls first. Lori's in Sandersfield, Mass. Go ahead, Lori.
Yes, I'd like to know about the jars and the lids. Could it be any very clean jar, or must it be a canning jar and the kind of lids that go on top?
Mm-hmm.
Must it be a canning lid or just a very tight lid?
There's a lot about lids in this book.
If you're doing cold canning, meaning you're storing it in the refrigerator or the freezer, it does not have to be a canning jar, and it does not have to be a special canning lid. Any tight-fitting lid, as long as the jar and the lid are meticulously clean before you put
the
stuff...
Now, when you say meticulously clean, explain.
Hot water and soap.
For how long?
A minute. 90 seconds.
Or run them through your dishwasher and take them.
We also say you can just put it through your dishwasher and take them out while they're warm.
Yep. So you want a very, very clean jar and lid. It could be any jar and any lid because it's only going in the fridge.
But let me say one thing, Lori, about this jar thing. Yes, it can be. You can wash out a jar of jam that you've eaten from the supermarket and use that so long as you keep the lid. But remember that some of those jars are not made for high temperatures, and some of these jams and jellies do come off the stove really hot, and you can crack a jar. It's doubtful, given that you should be working with hot, clean jars, but you can. So canning jars are the best alternative, but I have certainly seen Bruce do this. I've seen him make cowboy candy, the pickled sweet pickled jalapeno rings, and put it in just standard jugs.
I have even put some of this stuff in Tupperware.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Lori, you want to follow up?
Yeah. Ice cream sometimes comes in, gelato sometimes comes in these freezing jars, not made of glass, but a very hard plastic.
Yeah, with a screw-on lid. It would be good for some kind of pickles where you're putting in at most a warm brine, but I would not pour boiling hot sugary jam into that because I don't know how safe that plastic, whether that's going to melt or what kind of chemicals that plastic is going to
give off. Yeah, and be careful of that. Those kind of jars. With as Bruce says, if anything that's going in there, room temperature, like, for example, some of these things say set it aside at room temperature to cool to room temperature, like some of the tapenades, some of the barbecue sauces,
the salsa
then it's
matches,
okay. Yeah. Salsa matches, the relishes, which aren't really hot at all. Oh, there's a fabulous fennel relish in the book. Mm-hmm. We just had it this weekend on hot dogs. It's
fennel relish on hot dogs.
Yum. Mm-hmm. Fennel relish.
How many drinks did you have before you tried that?
None.
Really?
Yum.
Amazing.
Pickled ginger. You know the stuff you get when you eat sushi? God, that stuff. You don't eat sushi,
no,
right?
I don't eat sushi.
I bet your kids do.
I did a show on sushi once.
Well, the pickled ginger they serve with it, there's a recipe in here for that. You can
Amazing.
Make your own.
Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough join us today. 800-348-2551. Cold Canning is the new book. It's out Tuesday. I assume you get it anywhere you want, right?
Yeah.
Be everywhere. Let's go to Shelburne Falls in Terry. Terry in Shelburne Falls. Hello, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Hey, I have been making refrigerator pickles for the longest time. And in the past 5 years or so, because I'm low sodium, I've kind of branched out into making, pickling carrots, cauliflower, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I get sterile jars, stuff them full of the vegetables, bring up a lower salted brine, mm-hmm. pour it over the top, put the lids on. Once they pop down, throw them in the fridge. And I have some that I've kept 6 months and they're fine.
Yeah.
But the vegetables are never, I never cook them.
Yeah. When you do pickles,
just,
you don't.
I wonder if Eric,
I'm going to vindicate you there. You should not. The best vegetable pickles are made just the way you say, and we have recipes in the book to do some of the things you're talking about. Pickled carrots, pickled cauliflower, pickled peppers. Pickled asparagus, pickled tomatoes, pickled jicama.
What's jicama?
Jicama is a vegetable that is sort of beige, and it almost looks like a curling stone.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Only not quite as big.
Where are they native?
Latin America.
Oh, okay.
And it's very, very crunchy and a little fibrous, and it's almost like a water chestnut on steroids.
Terry, you want to follow up?
Yeah. Well, that's helpful information, but I do have a second question. Because I'm low sodium now and have been for about 7 years, I've made my own sauerkraut, made my own kimchi and everything, and so I've been toying with a lower sodium sauerkraut, and I can't remember whether I took half of the salt out or a third of the salt out, and I have a jar of that in the fridge right now that's 3 years old, and I would eat it in a heartbeat.
Wow.
You're pushing the envelope.
I know that's pushing the envelope.
Remember, just to say, Terry, and you know what you do in the privacy of your own home is your own business. But just to say, salt is a preservative, so it does keep the bugs at bay, and it brings on the fermentation without the bad parts of fermentation.
When you say bugs, you mean bacteria?
Yes. Yes.
Insects.
Intestinal
pests.
Bacteria. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. Terry, appreciate
sure,
the call.
Welcome.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough's new book is Cold Canning. And let's go, before we go to Watervliet, this email from Ann, who says, homemade pickled beets. I totally agree about homemade sauerkraut, especially with juniper berries. Mm. Homemade quick pickled beets with cloves and cinnamon, beet store-bought pickled beets every time.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And we have recipes for not only those kind of pickled beets. We also have a recipe in which you, this is a little more complicated, but you roast beet quarters and then pickle them. And then we have, and this is a bow to my childhood, a recipe for what we used to call Harvard beets, which are the beets in the sweet vinegary syrup.
Yeah.
Which I love. That's just right out of my childhood.
All right, let's go to Kate in Watervliet. Kate, you're on with Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough.
Hi, I have a question about the, I've seen online recently these vacuum kind of things that you put on the top of a jar and they're supposed to suck the air out of the jar.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you have any experience with them and if they're any good for cold canning.
Well, I have had some experience with those, and while they're very good at keeping things fresher longer, like coffee beans and crackers and potato chips, they are not a preservative method, so you can't put jam or pickles in that and use that to preserve them. You'll still need to put them in the refrigerator to keep them temperature safe so bacteria doesn't grow. So no, in terms of canning, I wouldn't use that as a method.
And there's an old adage, an old farm school adage that about pickling, right? That if it's in the brine, it's fine. If it's out, throw it out. So in other words, if the vegetables are in, underneath the level of the brine, you're okay because you're in an anaerobic environment. Once they start popping up above the brine or the liquid in it, it starts to get dicey. Now, Terry at home, maybe still playing dice.
So I tell you, your reaction, when you said, I'll go 3 years, your reaction was pretty priceless.
And that's not only 3 years with regular sauerkraut, it's 3 years with low salt sauerkraut.
Yeah. Okay, so
I got a good number of a gastroenterologist.
Terry's alive. I mean, maybe he's got an iron gut. You know. By the way, while you were on the last call, and Kate, thanks for the call. The apricot, it's jam, right? Now, when you make jelly, there's no fruit in that, right? That's a different process.
So, to make the jelly, first you cook the berries or the fruit on the stove, and then you pour it into a jelly bag, which is a straining bag, and all the juice comes out. So you could make jelly just from juice. You don't even have to make the juice yourself. Like, you could buy a jar of 100% sour cherry juice and make jelly out of that. Or you could buy the sour cherries and cook them and strain them.
You go through quite a bit in this introduction, which, by the way, it's almost a class in itself. It's almost you're learning so much from this introduction, but you're talking about different sieves and different porosity levels and everything.
Because when you have to strain something, you want to make sure for a jelly you get all the pulp out. You want it to be as clear and clean and crystal clear as possible.
And let me say, that I'm going to go back to that pectin discussion for just a second. There is a second way to set jams and jellies, which we do in the book, and that is we nix the pectin entirely and use chia seeds. Chia seeds will set a jam or a jelly. They'll also make it so high fibrous you can skip the Metamucil, but they will bring it way to the gel point.
So you, like, I made some raspberry chia seed jam on a TV show this week. So you cook the raspberries with some lemon juice and sugar for not even a minute, just what comes to a boil. Take it off the heat, stir in the chia seeds, and set it aside.
It doesn't affect the flavor?
They add a little more of that seedy kind of crunch,
yeah,
lots of fiber, and it thickens it up beautifully.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough are here. The new book, which is out this coming Tuesday, Cold Canning. And let's go to Great Barrington. Sky, you're on.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for the great show. I can't wait to get my hands on your book.
Cool.
I'm excited about it. It's like taking a class at the Culinary Institute. I had an old grandmother's trick for if you're using jars that aren't the traditional canning jars and you don't want to crack the jar, take a sterilized knife, like a dinner knife, butter knife, and set it into the jar before you pour the hot contents in, and it should rise the heat right up the knife and keep the jar from cracking.
That's old school, but I bet you these guys have checked with the USDA. They did a lot of that, and I don't know if the USDA would be all over that.
I mean, it would work if it, I mean, maybe it would work better if it was a sterling, if it was a real silver knife, right? Because sterling conducts heat really well.
Well, it's going to take some of the heat away from the jam, but it's not going to take that much. But
I must admit, I've never heard this.
Well, also, when you pour something over a knife or over the back of a spoon, you're dissipating it, you're spreading it out, so you're not hitting the bottom of that jar with a big hit of super hot jam right at the ladle, right? It's a gentler entry into the jar. So that could be another reason that that works.
A very interesting call. Thanks, Guy. Appreciate it. The number here is 800-348-2551.
You're looking at the page of raspberry liqueur.
We got a few minutes, minutes left.
I have a half-gallon container in the fridge right now of raspberries and sugar macerating with high-proof vodka to make my own Chambord.
There are, there are a number of pages devoted to liqueurs. Mm-hmm. And so explain, how do we do that?
So you're going to take the fruit and you're going to mix it with sugar, and so that it just gets all of its juices come out. And the best extractive liquid for that is not water, it's alcohol. So you take a nice 100 proof vodka.
Can I say, most vodka sold in the U.S. is 80 proof.
Right.
So you're actually looking for high proof vodka. Mm-hmm. That because of the preserving function, as Bruce said, it helps macerate and also preserves at a higher alcohol
and
content.
By the time you're ready to drink it, it's not going to be 100 proof anymore, right? Because all of the juice from the raspberries have come out, watered it down. Sugar, when you're cooking, sugar's a liquid, and it acts like a liquid, so that is also going to water it down. And after about 2 months of sitting in the fridge and shaking the drawer every now and then, you're going to strain it again through the jelly bag, or you line a colander with cheesecloth.
Could you use a coffee filter?
Yes.
You can, but it's going to go very slowly.
Okay.
So it's going to go really slowly. And
you're
have to
probably
going to
have to replace the coffee filter
every few
times.
And you'll end up with this beautiful red jewel liquid, which is better than any bottled Chambord you've ever had.
Start making it now for the holidays. And I can tell you, the book has its own triple sec recipe. And if you want to know the finest margarita recipe, ready? Equal parts tequila, triple sec, and lime juice. That's all you have to remember. Doesn't matter what the parts are. Three hubcaps. A hubcap of tequila, a hubcap of triple sec, and a hubcap of lemon juice. Doesn't matter. Equal parts plus a little sugar.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. And not necessarily the booze, but there's a section of the introduction, and I'm trying to rack my addled brain, but there's a bit about making more. And the ratios needed are exponential
tricky.
And not
it's algorithmic.
Additive. Yeah,
they're algorithmic ratios.
Explain.
So when you're working, it's back to that pectin. We're back to pectin, and we're back to the whole problem of pH. So when you're working with the jam, particularly jams, chutneys, conserves, jellies, etc., the pH is going to rise exponentially and, in fact, algorithmically. So you cannot just take a jar of lemon marmalade, a recipe, and double it. You're going to have to instead kind of do what we do. You're
going
to have to work at it to get the right recipe and play with it and play with its chemistry, which is what we do. So our advice to anybody who uses this book who wants to make more, let's say you want to make four jars of lemon marmalade, is just make it double batch.
Make it twice.
A second time.
It's so fast and so easy, just make it twice. That way you'd be sure it's going to work. In fact, if you look at when you used to be able to buy pectin in a box, back in the day, they used to have a little flyer inside that gave you recipes from the manufacturer.
Okay.
They don't do that anymore because that's too expensive for them. It even said on those, do not double these recipes. The jam may not set.
Yeah.
Because they knew you can't just double it.
It's a funky chemistry experiment.
Was there anything that you guys tried to come up with that failed? We only have about 30 seconds left
here. In this book, I don't know that there's anything that failed. I think we've made everything, even if it wasn't perfect the first time, into something perfect by the time we were done.
We were surprised at some things. Mm-hmm. We were surprised at carrot marmalade,
but
that's a whole thing unto itself. Or bacon jam, bacon shallot.
All right, now you have my attention.
So there you are.
Carrot marmalade, thinly sliced lemons, carrots, sugar, yum.
All right, well, let's leave it on that bilious note. All right, fellas, Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough, once again, how do they find you on the internet and such?
They can find us at Cooking with Bruce and Mark on all of the social media feeds. There's a Facebook group, on TikTok, all of that bit. They can find us, and our website is Cooking with Bruce and Mark.
You know, you guys are always entertaining and informative. What's the next book going to be?
That's in discussion right now.
Oh, you haven't decided yet. Will you come back on the show?
Sure, of course.
Absolutely.
Great job today. Support comes from Pioneer Valley Food Tours. Northampton, Massachusetts, offering walking and bicycle food tours that explore local food and beverages from source to table, PioneerValleyFoodTours.com. The Cheese Traveler, Albany, a purveyor of handcrafted domestic and imported cheeses, charcuterie, pantry items, grilled cheese curated from farms, dairies, and producers locally and around the globe, TheCheeseTraveler.com. And Real Pickles, a worker-owned cooperative in Greenfield, Massachusetts, producing organic fermented vegetables sourced from Northeast farms and found throughout the Northeast, realpickles.com. Once again, thanks to Bruce Weinstein and Mark Scarborough for being here today. The new book is Cold Canning. It'll be out Tuesday just about everywhere. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who has been fermented for some time over there in Master Control. Good job, sir. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. We'll see you Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday.